It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
We are back with our Bible study segment, and today our excellent teacher Sunny Shell is with us, and we are continuing with Proverbs 31, verse 23, and we're on part two of this titled Three Wise Women, and you can find all of the background information on our website at naomistable.com. Sunny Shell, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's glad to be back.
Well, you know, the first lesson in Proverbs 31:23, we were talking about the real-life picture of what an ungodly, unbiblically submissive wife looks like, and I have a feeling we're going to turn the corner today, aren't we?
We are. Now that we got a break, we gave the gals a break about thinking they were a horrible mess into showing them what a horrible mess really looked like in our last recording, we're going to talk about what a biblical woman, or three biblical women, look like. We're going to talk about the life of Zipporah, Ruth, and Elizabeth. Zipporah is Moses' wife, or was Moses' wife. Ruth was Boaz's wife and the great-grandmother of King David. So how cool is that? Elizabeth, that we'll be discussing, is Zechariah's wife, and she is the mother of John the Baptist. So we'll be covering what those three women stand for and what that means to us. So I want to go ahead and start just by reading what Proverbs 31:23 says again, just to kind of recap.
Okay.
And this is one of those weird verses where it really just doesn't mention the woman, and then we'll go into why. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And that's the end of that verse. And so that seems out of place to be discussing how honored a man is. In the passage of a Proverbs 31 wife, but as you go on to reading it, you notice that it's because she is such a godly, she is such an excellent woman, as it begins with verse 10, that the whole town looks at him and says, if a man is that woman's husband, and he is over her, and he is covering her, and being that Ephesians, you know, 5 husband that he's obviously supposed to be, he must be because he's got her, and he's got to be quite a man. So, you know, when a woman is offering that beautiful sacrifice to God that is precious in His sight and offering a gift to her husband through biblical submission as God calls us to, her husband is honored by other people. And so that's just an added beautiful gift that we get to give our husbands. And these three women we're going to talk about, we're going to see how they do that. So we'll start with Zipporah. And what we'll do is I'll suggest for the ladies to go ahead and read Genesis 17, verses 10 through 14, and just grab a highlighter and highlight verse 14. And then go ahead and open up to Exodus 4, 24 through 26, and highlight verse 26. And what we'll be going over about the life of Zipporah is that a biblically submissive wife protects life. Mm-hmm. And this is vital, you know. And a lot of times we're thinking, oh, you know, the life of our baby if we're pregnant or things like that. But we don't realize, again, we have to go back to the word excellent, the Hebrew word excellent that's used in the Proverbs 31 woman, the excellent woman, who can you find is Kahil, which means warrior. So she's, you know, she's not a woman to trample on. She's a woman to be reckoned with. So she's a pretty tough gal. And so because of that, because of her strength, she is able to protect life. And so in these two passages, we see that, in verse 14 and then the other highlight, 26, we see that in order to understand God and His ways and what's most important to Him, that is reconciling man to Him, we have to see that in the life of Moses, Moses was a shadow of the coming Christ, and he mentions that in Scripture. And so we really have to, a lot of people don't study the life of Moses very much or go into the Old Testament, but we really need to. As God commands in Romans, He says, you know, everything that was written in the past was written for our edification so that we can learn from it. So we need to study these passages of old so we can better appreciate the New Testament. Anyway, looking at Moses again, saying, okay, he is, as God made him, a shadow of the coming Christ. We really want to study that so we can see how God's people ought to respond. Now, of course, Moses not being Christ, he sinned. And this is a passage where instead of being obedient to God and circumcising his boys on the eighth day, one of them, Scripture doesn't say which one, but one of them was left uncircumcised. And according to Scripture, if you are uncircumcised, that child has to be cut off from the people of Israel. Basically, it's like, you know, he's dead to them. So this wasn't kind of a minor thing. This wasn't a, hey, this would be a nice kind of thing to do. This affected someone's entire life. It would sever them from the people of Israel if this wasn't done, because this was part of an outer, what am I trying to think, a depiction of what God was doing inside, having a covenant with man.
Mm,
and so
yes,
that was the way that you were supposed to show, just like the, you know, covenant of the blood of Jesus restored us to salvation. And so this was something that he was showing, you know, that the circumcision of the foreskin was going to be a shadow of God circumcising our hearts so that we can be one with Christ. It's funny because the word covenant actually, or not funny, but interesting that the actual Hebrew word used for the word covenant is berith, and that comes from the root word bara, which together it means to cut. It means to create something new and to make a treaty, an alliance. And I don't think a lot of people think about that. We think of the word covenant, we just think like a promise or a contract or something. It actually means to cut. To cut something and then make something new out of it. It's much like, a great example is in Genesis 15:17, where God is speaking with Abram, and he is making his covenant with him. And what he does is he puts Abram to sleep, and he tells him to get various group of animals, and he tells him to cut them in half. And then there was a smoking pot that passed between the two pieces. And it says there in verse 18, and on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram.
Mm.
And so that's what God's done with us, with Christ. He has come between us. He has cut. We see this in Scripture a lot. He has taken the two and made one man with Jesus. He's made the perfect God-man. That was the cut. That was the treaty. That was the alliance. That's why it's only through faith in Christ that we can know God and be saved. And so, you know, we go through this passage and we see Zipporah was submissive, and she was loving, and she was biblical, and so she did what her husband did not do that was going to cost the life of one of her sons. Again, Scripture doesn't say which one, we just know it's one of them. In Exodus 4:25, we see that as Moses is on his way to Egypt, and see, this is what's so interesting. He's commanded by God to go to Egypt to be like a foreshadow of Christ. But he goes, and he's walking in sin. Now, we know God can't have someone walking in sin and coming as his spokesperson, true?
True.
So it says here, just a weird, scary sentence right in the middle of, oh, and Moses is going to go to Egypt for his calling. It says, but God put it to his mind because he had not circumcised his son to put him to death.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
This is his beloved Moses.
Oh, I know. And so we don't know who him is. It doesn't say. We don't know if it's Moses. We don't know if it's his son that wasn't circumcised. We don't know who it was. We just know. Scripture just says God sent him out. Moses is on his way. His wife's poor. His boys are with him. But he set his heart to put him to death because he did not obey the covenant. And for whatever reason, God allows Zipporah, not Moses, Zipporah to recognize this. And she immediately takes a flint knife and she circumcised her son. Ouch!
Yes.
Right there. And then I wonder what the boy was thinking.
I'm sure he was thinking a lot of things.
Yes, I'll be one of them. But she quickly circumcises him. She takes the bloody knife, bows down to her husband. What a submissive wife, right?
Yes.
Bows down to her husband, puts a knife on his foot, and says, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. And Scripture says right after she said that, God chose to relent.
Wow.
And he didn't kill him. So she saved someone's life, whether it was her son, her husband, whose life. We just know that God was clear he was going to kill them because you had to keep that covenant. And he said what would happen if you didn't. So he was being faithful to what he said. And for whatever reason, obviously he knew the heart of Zipporah. She was not going to badger Moses. She wasn't going to berate him. She wasn't also going to kind of hold it over him. And, you know, us wives, we tend to do that.
We do. But, you know, it's amazing what the only other line then about Zipporah right after God let Moses alone was, it was then that she said, a bridegroom of blood, because of the circumcision. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's when God relented. She had, it wasn't just an action, it was a profession she made as well. And if you think about that, that is what we do when we come to Christ.
Yes.
You know, it's much like what James says in his book. He says, you know, faith without deeds is dead. You have to have both. And she expresses both. She expresses her faith by the action she takes. And then she professes exactly what she did. She confesses that she believes this to save life. She believes that without this, life would be taken. And God honors that, and he saves the life of those in her family because she humbly submitted to the Lord. She acted quickly and immediately. She didn't sit there and do, the first thought I thought was, I would have awful thoughts, you know, like, oh, I cannot believe my husband was that stupid. I mean, come on. You know, he knew this. He's jeopardized, and then I probably would berate him, you know, and then somebody would be killed in the middle of my berating. Or maybe I would go ahead and say, oh, I can't believe that you didn't do it. Just here, just give it to me. I'll take care of it. Can you hear women saying that?
I can. You know, this is a really interesting Bible study, this segment today, because you take us all over the Bible, but yet it points to Zipporah as such an obedient wife and obedient to God. It's just incredible.
Yes, and there's more, but Gal's going to have to go look online for that. We'll have to move on to Ruth and on our next session, but I did want to really get that firm grasp comparing to how we are, what women today are, what we're comfortable with. You see women either berating their husbands if they're not doing what's right. We usurp their authority and take things out of their hand and, you know, here, let me do it. You're doing that wrong. You know, or we may not say anything, we'll do all that, but later on, we'll kind of hold it over them.
Yeah.
You know, we'll keep it in our pocket.
Yes. You know, I can't wait to dive into the next two, but this one in Zipporah, please go to our website at naomistable.com and go and get the notes and get your Bible out and be prepared to take a little trek through the Bible as we look at the life of Zipporah. Thank you, Sunny Shell. We will be right back.